Welcome back to Community Connections. And as I said, we did have an interview, and we have got an interview with the Healesville District Historical Society. That's a big mouthful. And Bryn, welcome, Bryn.
Thank you very much. Thank you for inviting me.
Not a problem. It's good to have you here. First of all, Bryn, let me ask you, when did the Healesville and District Historical Society start?
1984.
Why was it started? Was it a group of people that got together and decided to start it, or how did it come
about? Yes, it did. There was an attempt some years earlier, and that failed. It was council-inspired to start with, but that fell through. And then a group of like-minded people got together and met. They had nowhere to meet, essentially. They were in someone's house. And for the first year or so, all the meetings were held in Frank Endicott's house. And all the information he had was under his bed and in filing cabinets around his house. So it was an inauspicious start.
Did it start, like, obviously it started because, which is probably the best way to start these things, is by a groundswell from the residents, otherwise it tends to not get going. Was it started because somebody had a huge collection of things, or was it just that people wanted to do something about history?
Well, I think it was both. There was a collection and there were a number of people who were interested. I wasn't there at the time. I think there were a sufficient number of people who had an interest in Healesville's history to organize and get something started.
All right, so in the early days, and you weren't there, so it's a bit hard to ask you, how did they get the things to get this historical society going? Maybe someone had some stuff, but how did they...
Well, people knew about Frank Endicott and his interest. And if they had something of interest, they passed it on to him. And he was a good researcher himself. He was a grocer in the town.
Was he? Yeah.
And a member of the Methodist Church, as it was then, and very involved with the community. He had a couple of other people, like Frank Foxcroft, who was at the primary school, and Les Harsent, who had a business in town as well. And they were the movers to start with, and they were enthusiastic about it, and they really wanted to get something started.
The three of them, were they first-time Healesville residents, or did their sort of parents and grandparents?
No, they'd been in the town for some years, but they weren't born in Healesville, no.
Right, so
But they made those connections with people, of course, who were.
Which goes.
Yeah.
I've just got to take another quick break.
Right. Okay.
I'll meet you there.
Welcome back to Community Connections, and we're talking to Bryn from the Healesville and District Historical Society. Bryn, do you have exhibitions? Like, you've got a couple of rooms. Do you have exhibitions, or changing expeditions, or exhibitions, or how does it
work? We're actually very limited because we have almost no wall space. Yes, it makes it hard, but we do put photographs in Reese's window. They've been very helpful with us.
Yep.
Yes, people do stop and look and remark on it, so we're happy about that.
Yep.
We have had exhibitions in the library. We work pretty closely with the library staff, and we get on very well with them.
So you don't have ongoing exhibitions as such?
No, we can't. We used to when we had other premises and we had wall space, but unfortunately it's nearly all windows where we are.
So how does it work? Like, if somebody wants to learn a bit about the history, do they come to you?
We have lots of visitors. Yep. We have a lot of inquiries via emails.
Yep.
I write articles for the newspaper. Local newspaper provides space 4 times a year for me, and I choose a topic and write about that.
When you do that writing, is it mainly on times of history or people?
Both. And sometimes it's an event. Often it's individual people.
So, are you always looking for new items? When I say new items, I know that when my parents died, they'd had junk for them 30 years.
Yes.
Are you always looking for people to bring that sort of stuff?
Yes, we are, and the people are very generous. It's often, as you say, clearing out possessions of parents and so on, and if they think there's something useful, they're kind enough to bring it into us, and we are very grateful for any contributions.
Well, I guess it's better to bring it to you, and then you people say.
Oh, well, I do, and it does happen with people that say, "Oh, this is junk. We'll just throw it out."
Yeah.
Recently, a lady, in fact, just over a week ago, came in researching her family. We knew very much about the person concerned. And she brought us material, especially photographs, which we didn't have. And she's made those available to us, and we've given her information, so it's a mutual effort.
So if somebody's doing their family tree or whatever
yes.
it might be, because that seems to be the big go,
yep.
They can come in and when your rooms are open and do their own research.
Exactly. They usually come in with questions. We have files, of course, on people which they can use, and we are happy to make information available to them. We often get the situation where someone comes in with doing some research about a family, and we happen to know someone else has been doing research on that family, and they don't know each other. And so with permission, we're able to put them in touch with each other. That's happened on numerous occasions.
So, if somebody brings you some material, like this lady who brought some stuff the other day, does that then go on to a computer, or do you?
We do two things. We've got an extensive filing system. We've got so much; it's in fact, it's too much to put on. On computers,
right.
Because it's an enormous task to do that.
Yep.
But we put all our photographs, they're all scanned. We've got over 5,000 photographs, and they're all scanned and put on computer.
Oh, terrific. Hmm. How many volunteers do you have at your society?
We've got a good membership. We've got a membership of about 60, but they're scattered, you know, not just in Healesville, throughout, well, not only Victoria, but throughout the country. But active volunteers, we have about 8, I suppose. So
I suppose you're always looking for volunteers
yes.
who have an interest in history.
We're always happy to welcome people. We like to use the particular skills they have. We've acquired a couple of new people recently who have lots of skills we've been able to benefit from, And it's made a huge difference to us, especially those of us who are older, who are less familiar with the technological skills that the younger people have. So,
but then you've probably got the knowledge of the area that
exactly.
They haven't got either.
That's right. So it's a complementary arrangement.
Yeah. Bryn, out of all the material that you've got over the years, do you have one collection that sticks out in your mind that you think, gee, I'm really glad we got that?
Well, that's a bit difficult. I've not really thought of it in those terms. We have family collections, which people have donated to us. We have information which we've researched from newspapers. And the existence of Trove now has made a huge difference. I've particularly specialised on the guest houses.
There were a number around, weren't there?
Well, it was a huge number. We've been able to find probably, you'd call them accommodation places, as well as just guest houses, somewhere like 150, 160 existed. They didn't all exist at one time, of course. But in the 1920s, we have discovered that there were something like 75 guest houses or accommodation places existing in Healesville.
Just in Healesville?
Well, Healesville and district, included Tallangi and Myers Creek, Chum Creek.
Does that take in Warburton?
No, 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 that's separate.
Because there was heaps of
them. Oh, yes, no, no, well, that's quite separate. Warburton had its own, Marysville had its own, but Healesville was the guest house capital of Victoria, if not possibly of Australia.
When you say Healesville and district, so that leads me into the next question. When you're doing your research, how far out of Healesville does your research go?
Well, it's surprisingly, historical societies are very careful about the limits of their areas. We go part way towards Coldstream, and then Lilydale takes over. There used to be a Yarra Glen Historical Society. There is now a group there. There is a group now at Tallangi, but we take in Tallangi and up towards the Spur and over towards Wurrierig.
I've just got to take another quick break.
Okay, right on.
And we'll be back with more.
I don't want your lonely mansion with a tear in every room. I want the love you promised beneath the haloed moon. But you think I should be happy with your money and your name, and hide myself in sorrow while you play your cheap game. Silver threads and golden needles cannot bend this heart of mine, and I dare not drown my sorrow in the warmth of your wine. You can't buy my love with
Ivor, that was for you. It was Linda Ronstadt and Silver Threads and Golden Needles. I'm talking to Bryn from the Hillsville and District Historical Society. Bryn, do you often get, say, grandchildren coming in trying to follow... Well, should I say, do you get more like children who are trying to find out about their parents... Or do you get grandchildren or great-grandchildren?
Well, we get people coming in. They're not children in the youngest sense.
No.
They are offspring, you know, and it's often their grandparents they're trying to find information about. They'll say something like, my grandfather lived in Hillsville in about 1906. Would you happen to have a photograph of him? Well, we may, but unless he's a prominent citizen or has done something outstanding, it's a bit unlikely. But
I guess the other problem is, too, that very often the pioneer might have been, we'll say, Bill Burtz or something, but then the grandchild has been the mother three or four
times. Oh, yes, exactly, yeah.
So they know.
But we're able to satisfy many of the inquiries, and... it's local knowledge that's invaluable.
Who would be the oldest resident in Hillsville?
I really don't know. There must be people in their late 90s. I've got colleagues who were born in Hillsville in the mid-80s. I wasn't born in Hillsville, obviously, and I'm the oldest in the society.
Oh, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
Now, there was something you wanted to mention.
Well, I was going to say our sources of income, fees are pretty modest. Membership fee is $15 per year and $20 for a family. But our main source of income is our sale of books. And in particular, a few years ago, we developed a plan to... take advantage of the many photographs that we have, and we developed three pictorial volumes of history dating from 1864 to 1994, when Hillsville Shire no longer existed. We were incorporated, as you know, into the Shire of Yarra Ranges. So the three volumes cover that entire period.
And what's the cost of those?
Well, yes, they vary because they vary in size. The first one, they vary from, $25 to $40. And if someone buys the three of them, we give a discount on it, not 10%. Yeah, well, it's... $109, I think, altogether, $110, and we reduce it to $90 if they want the three volumes. And sometimes
great stuff in that, wouldn't it?
Oh, it's terrific! Yes, it's been very well received, and we've got a fair number of volumes still, books still left. So
tell people how they can get there very soon. Was it done by one member? Or
No. We had a small committee. And they worked on it over a period of 12 months or so, and then when the first volume was done, they got on to the second and so on. So we've had a very good cooperative effort on
that.
That's
terrific. Mm. So you cover a lot of photos from 1864 to 1994.
Yeah.
And as I was walking down the main street, you can see
the... the main street is Nicholson Street. We like to refer to it.
You like to refer to
it. Because there's despite some photographs which say Hillsville Main Street, there's never been a Main Street. It's always been Nicholson Street.
Has
it? Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, right from the start.
Obviously, at times you've got different plaques up that says... this was a dry cleaners. And
yes.
There's a lot of work on in that too, wasn't there?
Well, that was a cooperative effort with the Rotary Club.
Yep.
They supplied the artwork and the money.
Yep.
I wrote all the items there, and they presented them, and the council decided where they should go, basically.
Oh,
we wanted to put them in certain places, and because of certain provisions, we had to modify that. But we've got 27 of them around the town.
Yeah, it's terrific. Mm, yeah. So it really gives you a bit of a feeling of what it used to be, doesn't
it? Exactly, yes.
Well, that's terrific. I know one historical society, this is back, I think it was a year of the centenary, and they went along every shop and they had the whole history of the shop.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Different shops there.
Well, we keep a record as far as we can. Yes, and if there's a new shop in town, I go and introduce myself and ask them for their card and record it in a book we have, which we call Healesville Happenings. So if there's some event at stake takes place, we record it, and then it settles a lot of arguments.
I was going to ask you, do you ever get many people coming along saying we've had a bet or
oh yes. Oh yeah. Yeah, when did those traffic lights go in? So and so says so and so, but I don't think it was that date, and so on, and we're able to satisfy that. And
all right, I've got to take another break.
Okay.
We'll be back with more.
Yarra Valley FM acknowledges the traditional owners, the Wurundjeri people, as the custodians of this land we broadcast from. We pay respects to elders past, present, and emerging.
And that was In Excess and Don't Keep Us Apart, or Never Tear Us Apart. And I'm talking to Bryn from the Healesville District Historical Society. First of all, I guess we did mention earlier on, and we really need to do something about this, you are looking for volunteers all the time.
We're always looking for volunteers, And as I say, we're happy to suggest to them whatever they might be interested in. We can satisfy those needs, and they don't have to feel overwhelmed, or we'll be very welcoming.
And they don't have to have computer skills?
Not necessarily, but it helps.
What hours are you open,
We're open on a Monday afternoon and a Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 4.
And whereabouts?
We're in the couple of rooms we have in the Community Link building, which also has, of course, the library in it, and the service desk for the council. We have just a couple of rooms there.
So how do they find you? Do they go into the council?
They can go in, ask at the counter, and we work closely with them too.
And I guess the other thing too, we should mention that you're always looking for items, particularly, and as I was saying before, particularly when something's happened to the grandparents,
yes,
and the house has been cleaned.
Yeah. Don't throw your old items away. Bring them into us, and we'll see if they're of value and relevance to us, and we'll make use of them.
Well, and it's better for them to bring them to you, and if you don't need them, throw them away, rather than for people to make the decision to get rid of them, isn't it?
Well, we generally don't throw things away, but we've got limited space too.
Yeah, that's very much it. Look, it's there seems to be a revival around history in a lot of areas. Like 40 or 50 years ago, a lot of people just didn't seem to care about the history, did they?
I think it's because these sites have become available, like Ancestry and so on, and people become interested in their families. Not usually when they're younger. And that's when the information is available, and it's too late when those people have gone, but they do the research, and research vehicles are available nowadays.
That's one of the things that, and I should say this, because I know it happened to me, there were a couple of things I'd have should have asked my father.
Exactly.
And never did.
Yes.
And now I can't, because of what I want to know, only he would have known.
Yes.
And it's lost.
It is, and yeah, we fret over that.
Well, I do in particular, which is a particular item that I would like to learn about.
Yeah, exactly.
This interview is not about me.
Yeah.
So, again, if people want to join your society, it's not a very expensive organization.
No, it's cheap.
Yeah.
We're not a cheap organization, but it's cheap to join.
I guess one of the things, too, that a lot of people sort of, as they get older, is when they really want to know history. But it's probably better the sooner they do, because some of the older people will be gone.
Of course.
And maybe information won't be available.
The thing we know generally is that people, when they retire, are able to devote time to these things, either to do the research or to come in and help. Sometimes they get onto it earlier, but generally your interest peaks when you've got the time.
I shouldn't ask you this, but I am going to ask you. Do you ever get anybody come in and doing research on their family and say, oh, I really didn't want to know that?
Oh, well, yes, it happens. Yeah, well, not on to a great extent, but they sometimes find things that they didn't really want to know. But I know you see it sometimes on the programs, Who Do You Think You Are? And some unfortunate information arises, and someone was in the workhouse at some stage, or been in prison, and people don't want to know.
Because occasionally you do, you'll be talking to somebody, because I've never been particularly interested in family trees, because you're surprised. I'm a surprise from time to time that people turn around and say, oh, I didn't want to know that.
Yeah.
So there is obviously at times in people's family background.
Well, we're pretty discreet.
Oh, yeah, but I suppose, again, the other way to look at it, if it's the truth, it's the truth.
Well, that's true, yeah.
Look, again, we need you to give us some contact details too, please.
Yes. Well, we've recently got some new details. We have a new phone number, which is 0491 618 320.
So that's 0491 618 320.
Correct.
Yep.
And we have an email address, all in lowercase.
Yep.
One word, Healesville Historical at gmail.com.
Give us that again, please.
Healesville Historical.
One word.
One word, all in lowercase,
yeah.
At gmail.com.
Yeah.
We have a website, www.healesvillehistorical.website, but spelled S-Y-T-E.
Oh,
yes. The site.
Sorry.
.com.au.
You want to give us that again, please?
Yes. www.healesvillehistorical.website with a Y. .com.au. We have a Facebook page, simply Healesville Historical. So we're hoping to spread the news in that way.
And I guess if none of those, if you haven't written them down, you Google Historical and District Healesville and District Historical Society, you'll find all those things.
I'm sure, yes.
Because I mean, that's one of the things I think that probably years ago, 40, 50 years ago, it was probably very hard to get information.
Oh, definitely. We'll feel a responsibility as the custodians of Healesville's history to be able to make information available to anyone who wants it. And we're happy to really help anybody.
So if somebody listening today wants to come and research their family, or something that happened in Healesville, do you charge them for that?
We don't have formal charges.
Right.
People are very often happy to say, look, I'll give you a donation.
Yep.
And it's often reciprocal. They give us information, and we're able to give them information. And that's the way it works best.
And when a person wants to find out that information, They do the work themselves.
Well, we can actually give them the files, and they can read the files, and we can answer their questions, and so on.
Yeah, but you don't do the research for them, do you?
The research is perhaps already done in many cases, and we have the information there, but generally speaking, they're happy to do the research themselves.
Do you often find that a person, once they've done the research with you, and then that obviously that leads off to something else, and they go away then and they do a whole lot more work, maybe through ancestry and all that. Do many of them come back with you?
Oh, yes, definitely. They promise that once they do that research, they'll bring it back to us and let us have photographs and so on.
Well, that's good, because that also increases your range of knowledge.
Exactly, yes.
Apart from the guest houses, like you were saying, is there anything else that Healesville was well known for in the early history?
Well, not well known in a sense, but the town was named after Richard Heales, who was a premier of Victoria for almost a year. He died at the age of 42. And obviously before the town was established, and it was established above the floodplains as a stopping place en route to the goldfields. And in 1866, there is a directory which lists the premises in the town, and they included six hotels. There was a population of no more than about 120. And the irony of it was that Richard Heales was very, very closely associated with the temperance movement.
Was he?
So he was a very keen supporter of temperance, which was a feature of life in Britain and Australia, and particularly in Victoria, in the 1880s, especially. And one of the things I recently wrote an article on was the coffee palaces, which were established not quite as a rival to hotels and pubs, but as an alternative. And there was to be a coffee palace built in Hillsville, but unfortunately the person ran out of money. It was to be on the site, close to the railway, near where Mackenzie's buses is now on that corner.
Oh, yeah.
That's where it was to be built. And there were some remains there for many years. He started the building and ran out of money. Yeah.
Brent, unfortunately, it's time for us to go.
Yes.
The hour's gone very quickly. Thank you for coming along.
Well, it's my pleasure, Alan, and thank you for your interest and your...
Just very quickly, again, just your contact details for email for people who want to volunteer. And if they want to volunteer, I suggest you do.
Right, the website or the email is hillsvillehistorical@gmail.com. The website is www.hillsvillehistorical.website.com.au.
Brent, again, it's been a pleasure having you, and I hope you get plenty of volunteers, and congratulations on all the great work you do.
Thank you very much, Alan, and thank you very much for your interest and inviting me.